this practice that we're doing here, that we've been practicing today, we are making an effort to be present. We're learning to be present. We're making an effort to be present. We're getting to know what it's like to be present. The main skill that we learn to develop in the service of knowing the present moment, being present, is mindfulness of breathing, anapanasati. That was the skill the Buddha practiced. As I always say, if it's good enough for the Buddha, it's good enough for me. It's a good practice. It's a good practice. It's a practice that'll take us, as he said again and again, to a place of greater happiness. I have no question in my mind about that, for myself and for anybody else that I teach. You know, of course, it's a matter of learning the skill, following the skill, and making the effort. So the heart of the practice of the Buddha's teaching of the Dharma, the path of this practice of mindfulness of breathing, is keeping the mind on the breath. Keeping the mind on the breath as a way of bringing our awareness. The breath is our center in the body, as a way of keeping the mind in the body and in the present moment. In the present moment. So we make this effort in sitting meditation to keep the mind in the breath. We make this effort in walking meditation, and we make this effort in all of our postures. On a day like today, we seek to keep the mind in the breath to the best of our ability during lunch, when we're using the lavatory, etc. And of course, we do the same thing once we leave here. So this practice of keeping the mind on the breath, it's not such an easy practice, right? It's not such an easy practice. It's a difficult practice. It's a difficult practice. I'm not one to try to deceive anybody into thinking of anything other than it's not a difficult practice. It's like most things in life that are going to get you to some place that are good, you're going to have to put some effort into, and they're not going to be easy. They're not going to be easy. We're always kind of, the culture wants to sell us ways, easy ways of doing things. Yeah. Use an app. I mean, apps are okay, but they're not going to take you to where this practice can take you. It's not an easy practice. You know, we see this, right? You know, we see this. We want to try to keep the mind on the breath and in the body, but the mind is flowing out. One of the terms the Buddha used was effluence. You know, it's like this outflow of the mind, all this thinking, flowing out and out and out. One of the ways he described awakening, the end of suffering, was the ending of the effluence. So this mind is just, you know, and that's one of the things, and I kind of alluded to that before, you start to see that on a retreat on a day like this today. For me, I often see it, as I said, kind of in the walking meditation, how the mind is just flowing out. And of course, there's so many of these habitual patterns, habitual ways of thinking. And, you know, what that means is like they're deeply conditioned, you know. We've been thinking in these ways for a long time. You know, I remember years ago having this, I guess you could call it an insight on a retreat, and seeing that, you know, I've been pretty much thinking the same way since I was like 10 years old, you know. But of course it's compounded. So every time you think that way, it's a deeper and deeper and deeper pattern, a deeper groove or rut in the mind of thinking. So, you know, the mind is just flowing out. We're making an effort to keep the mind there, using directed thought, developing an easeful breath, a place where the mind will want to stay. The mind wanders, we bring it back. The mind wanders, we bring it back. The mind wanders, we bring it back. But it's not enough. It's not enough. It's not enough just to bring the mind back after it wanders off. I mean, that is okay up to a certain point, but in the end, you have to do more than that. So a meditation instruction, which is be mindful of the breath when it wanders off, come back, is okay. It's kind of like a very beginner's level instruction. to really get the mind to stay present, you need to do more than just keep bringing it back, because you're not changing the habitual patterns of the mind. You know, you have to learn to change those habits. You have to learn to be able to develop what we call disenchantment with those habits, so that you won't go chasing after those thoughts. So to really be able to develop an ability to stay in the present moment with the breath and the body, to develop concentration, we have to bring insight to the thinking. We have to bring insight to the thinking. I talked about this in the opening words today. There is no concentration without insight. There is no concentration without insight. There's sort of this misconception that, you know, concentration and insight are two separate practices, but they're not. They work together. In order to develop concentration, you need insight. And of course, in order to develop insight, you need concentration. So there's many things, or a number of things, that we do to bring insight to the thinking. And one thing, as I talked about earlier today, was to question the thinking, to start asking, is this useful? It's a particularly helpful strategy in terms of beginning to develop disenchantment with the thinking, and to begin to lessen our habit of chasing after the thinking. It's a particularly helpful strategy to ask, is it useful, to question the thinking, particularly with these habitual patterns of mind. You know, these habitual patterns of mind, again, jobs, relationships, and apartments. So, again, this question, you know, you can find different ways to ask the question. You always have to, you know, don't do what I do. I mean, do what I do, but do it in your own way. You know, because what I just try to do what the Buddha did, but everybody has to find their own way and the right questions to ask. But it really, this one question, you know, is it useful? It's a really good way of kind of summarizing it. So it's a good question, I think, because if you think about it, no pun intended, you know, we think a lot. We think, anybody here who doesn't think a lot? You know, we're thinking all the time. We're spending so much time thinking. Thinking, day after day after day, but we don't question it. You know, we don't question our thinking. We just think. We just, thoughts arise and we chase after them, and we don't even think about what we're doing. You know, the metaphor that we used to use was, you know, it's like you're walking down the street and there's a train and you get on the train and, you know, and you just stay on the train for hours, you don't even know where it's going, you know? You never even ask where it's going. I mean, that's how we kind of are with our thinking. We think so much, but we don't question it. So the way to develop insight is to begin to ask questions. That's a mark of somebody with insight, the Buddha said. He said, that's the actual, you know, an understanding cause and effect. The cause that leads to the effect of insight is to ask questions. So we ask questions. Is this useful? Is this thinking useful? Now, it's very important when you ask these questions is you understand what they mean. What I like to say, the subtext, you know. You really want to develop the subtext and understand what the subtext means. I mean, when you're asking the question in a meditation or when you're out there in the world, is it useful? You may have to flesh out the subtext a little bit. You know, that's a process that you go through, but eventually you want to get to the point when you, so you look at the thinking and you ask the question, is it useful, or whatever question you ask, and you don't, and you know what the subtext is, right? You know what the subtext is. So again, you have to kind of find your way into that, but a little bit of a paraphrase in terms of what the subtext is this thinking useful for me? Is it serving me in my efforts to develop concentration? Is it useful for me in my efforts to do what I need to do, to develop wisdom? Is it useful for me in being able to do what I need to do to awaken, to have a greater happiness in my life? That's what the question means. You know? I mean, the question has a far-ranging implication. Is this thinking useful to me in my efforts to know a greater happiness in my life? Because that's what the Buddha is concerned with. You know, is what you're doing leading to suffering or to happiness? So that's ultimately what the question comes down to. So we learn to ask the question, and we really try not so much to answer it, right? Not so much to answer it with the intellectual mind. You sort of drop the question, and you want to begin to know the truth that the question is leading to you by knowing it inside, in the body, and in the heart. You know, and it's a deepening understanding and a deepening truth. You know, I sometimes wonder if it's because I'm about to give a talk, but like in this last sitting, sure enough, I started thinking about one of those three things, jobs, relationships, apartments. I started thinking about, you know, this meeting that I had with somebody that I'm writing this book, the person's helping me with this book, and, you know, all these things that I was going to email to her later on tonight. You know, it's like, just what I said, jobs, relationships. So I asked the question, is it useful? And without getting into the detail, you know, I asked that question and I touched into an insight into the truth of where that question leads me in a deeper way than I had before. You know, it was an insight on another level, you know, pertaining to the long-term consequences. You know, I mean, maybe I'll go into a little bit of the detail. I always hate to, because, you know, you have to find these things out for yourself. But, and I didn't even try to flesh out the question that way, but what I could really start to ascertain was that, you know, when I die, it's not really going to matter that much if I thought about what I was thinking on the cushion while I was meant to be meditating. Yeah. So we just keep asking these questions, and over time we develop a deeper understanding of where this thinking is taking us. And basically, it's not taking us anywhere. It's like that train, it's just going nowhere, this thinking. So this asking of these kinds of questions, really what we're learning to develop is this quality of ardency. This quality of ardency. Ardency has different aspects to it, as most things do in the teaching. I mean, part of ardency is just staying with it. You know, I mean, it all comes under this category of staying with it, staying with it, staying with it out of wisdom and compassion. You know, in asking these questions, when we're thinking, when we find ourselves caught in thinking or about to engage in thinking, is it useful? We're being ardent in our efforts to refrain from going down these paths, you know? So there's a quality in this, this quality of ardency, in some ways, you know, and again, you know, you learn to develop this is, you know, there's a quality of when you start to go into the thinking of, no, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to go there. You want to pull me away, but I'm not going where you're going. I'm not getting on this train. Yeah? I'm not going to do this. There's this quality of, I'm going to stay right here where I am. This is important, what I'm doing. So that's ardency. This is important, what I'm doing right now in staying with this breath. It's important. So, you know, it's, you know, the Buddha says you need to be ardent. It's not a laissez-faire approach. Oh, there's the thoughts, let them come and go. You know, I mean, that has its place to some extent. Buddha's teaching really isn't sort of that laissez-faire approach. Thoughts come, come back, thoughts come, come back. It's more of, are these thoughts good for me? No, it's dangerous for me to go in. I mean, that's how the Thai Ajahns would talk about it. You know, going down those paths, getting on that train is dangerous. You know, we tend to really shy away from talking about things that way in the West. You know? So we're bringing this quality of ardency to staying here, staying with the breath, just like you guys stayed here throughout this day. That required great ardency. Could have been very easy to, you know, shuck it at lunch, you know, or after the second sitting, you know what, that's enough. I know he's going to give a phenomenal Dharma talk, but you know, I think I'm going to go home now. You know? But you stayed with it. That's ardency. No, I'm going to stay here. You stayed with it because on some level, and maybe quite a developed level, you felt that this was important. You were going to get some value. This was going to have a benefit for you. If only that in that you're developing your good qualities and seeing it through to the end. So we have this understanding that this quality of ardency is like, I'm doing this because this is important. I'm staying here on the retreat. I'm staying here with the breath. I'm keeping my mind on the breath because this has value. I'm going to get something from this. I'm going to get somewhere. I always kind of use this metaphor. I've used this metaphor for years in terms of describing this quality of ardency. It's like if your favorite musician was sitting here with his or her guitar, you know, and was, you know, just happened, you know, I wonder what they're doing up there. You know, was visiting Berlin, Paul McCartney maybe, you know. I was thinking, I always say either Paul McCartney or Bob Dylan, you know. It's like, I probably should, you know, I'm dating myself, maybe Lana Del Rey, you know, was like walking down Urban Strasse and just came up here with her guitar and started, I mean, you'd be like, you know, that's ardency. You wouldn't take your eyes off of her, right? I mean, that's how the kind of ardency we want to develop with the breath. That's that quality of ardency. It's like I found out one of my favorite bands, I just found out I was going to be playing in Berlin in April. Immediately went online and got a ticket. You know, that's how you want to be with the breath. So this ardency is a function, as we're saying, of wisdom and compassion. You know, we have wisdom, some understanding, or we're developing this wisdom into the truth, and the truth being that this is important to stay here with the breath. It's important to keep the mind here. You know, it's important for us in order to be on the path, to stay on the breath. I mean, the heart of the Buddha's path is concentration. So, you know, this is an understanding that we develop, you know. This is a good place to be. This is a good path to stay right here. This is going to lead us to a good destination. This is going to lead me to a good destination. You know, of course, as we develop the path and as we practice and you meditate and you come to days like this, you deepen in this understanding, right? You deepen in this understanding that if you stay with the breath, because it all comes down to that, if you come to day-long retreats and you stay with the breath, it's going to serve you, it's going to get you somewhere, it's going to lead you to a good destination. You know, over time, you understand that more clearly. You develop conviction based on what you've come to see, right? So that's one good mark of your developing in your practice, is that your conviction is developing. So I've always seen how my conviction has gotten stronger over the years. I've been doing it a long time and it's still developing. So you start to develop this conviction, this understanding, based on wisdom, that the path leads somewhere. It leads to a good destination. You know, if I stay here, this is going to lead me to a good destination. So the next question, of course, is, well, what is that destination? Where is it leading me? Where does the path lead me? You need to know this. You know, you're not going to stay with the breath, you know, just because somebody, you know, unless you understand where that's going to lead you. I mean, this is really important to know what the goal is. I'm staying here because this is going to get me somewhere. This is going to get me to a place that's good for me. So, you know, you have to kind of learn to start to see that it will get you there. But you need to develop an understanding of the goal and orient yourself to it. You're never going to get there unless you understand what it is and remind yourself and begin to develop an understanding that staying right here with the breath is going to get you there. Because when we know where the path leads and what the goal is, we make an effort to get there. We're ardent. You know, you make an effort to get somewhere, because you know where you're going. You know it's a goal that you want to reach. So goals are really important. You know, this is another thing. Oh, don't have any goals. You're not going to make an ardent effort to meditate if you don't have a goal that you're striving for. It's like anything else in life. You know, you make an effort. If you're a student, you really make an effort because you want to get that degree. You know, you don't spend all that time in the library for nothing, you know? I mean, it's the same thing with meditation. You need to know what the goal is, and that's what motivates you to stay with the breath. So, there is a goal, you know, there's a good destination. You know, part of that goal, that destination that we seek to reach is the ability to be present. The ability to be present in meditation, but ultimately in our lives, because that's really the goal in terms of being present, right? You know, the goal of, in terms of being present is to be present in your life. You know? I mean, it's great if you're being present here, but the culmination of this path is, you know, the goal is to be present in your life. The Buddha said that's the mark of your concentration, that you're able to be present and access the qualities of concentration, what he called jhana, in all postures and whatever you're doing. You know, without going into a whole chapter and verse about it, that's why we teach strong concentration. You know, that's why I teach strong concentration, A. And B, that's why we teach very specific skills for learning to maintain the breath and the qualities of concentration in your daily life. We're actually doing a course on it right now. So, you know, you make the effort to do these things, so you get to this goal, this destination. We want to reach this goal at which we're able to be present in our lives and with a sense of ease and a quality of well-being, that we move through the world with a quality of ease and grace. You know, in the body, connected, aligned. The body is aligned. You know, the Thais talk about it in terms of the elements being in harmony and being in coordination. You know? It's like an animal, right? We're animals, right? You know? If you watch an animal, you know, tiger or a leopard, you know? They just don't get all stressed out and get all tight and tense, and, you know? I mean, we could be like that, but, you know, I mean, that's what we're striving for. That's why in the walking I like that nice, smooth, it's beautiful watching. Beautiful. Some of the most beautiful passages in the suttas, the Buddha describes the monks walking in the fields. And ultimately, that goal that we're reaching is being present with ease and having equanimity. You know, in terms of the concentration, the goal ultimately is equanimity, where we're able to keep our center. We're able to stay present and keep our center, and we don't get pulled out of the present moment by sense experiences. You know, that's why, you know, we don't use the phones in this space today. You know, we don't, but we learn, you know, when equanimity is really strong, we don't get pulled away by sense experiences. We don't get pulled away by the different sensations in the body, the knee and all that. We don't get pulled away by the different emotions that arise. They just arise. This is part of my human experience, but I keep my center. And we don't get pulled away and dragged away by those currents and streams of thinking. The mind doesn't flow out. We stay centered in all postures, at all times, in all circumstances, regardless of what the circumstances of our lives are. We stay centered. We have a center. We have this center, we can stay present, we're able to stay in the body, and if we can stay in the body, we're more and more able to be connected to the heart. Because that's, well, we're getting close to the goal. I mean, all these things are components of the goal. So we learn to stay present, we learn to, which keeps us in the, but we use the breath, it keeps us in the body. The more we're in the body, the more able we are to be connected to the heart. We're talking about the citta, what the Thais call the citta, this place of innate wisdom and love and compassion that's like right here. It's in the body. It's something real. It's not abstract. It's not conceptual. You know? The heart is right here. Wisdom is right here. love is right here, compassion is right here. The problem is we're out here in thinking. The more thinking you do, the less able you are to be connected to your heart. Now you have to do some thinking, of course, to get you into the body, to the breath, into the present moment. But all that thinking, all that outflow is taking us away from the body and thusly away from the heart. So it's kind of a good equation. The more you are in thought, the less you are in the heart. The more you are in thought, the less you are in the heart. But we don't even realize it because we're not connected to the heart. You know, because we're not connected to the heart, so we don't even know what that's like. One of the things about a day like today, you start to get a sense of what that's like. And that's why one of the reasons why I really encourage people to do these retreats is you start to get a better sense of what it's like to be present. I mean, you guys have really good concentration. I mean, the concentration, I mentioned it to a couple of people in the interviews, but you know, the concentration is really good. You know, the conditions really help. You practice, you're being wholehearted, you're putting aside all those things for 7 hours, you know. And you're getting a sense of what it's like to be in the body. Not easy, not an easy day, right? But you start to get a sense of what it's like to be able to maintain present moment awareness. The more you maintain present moment awareness, the awareness just starts converging at the heart. You know, as concentration develops and you keep your awareness more and more in the body, your awareness starts to converge right here. So when concentration becomes really strong, you're just coming right from here. Mostly we're coming from here, right? But we want to come from here. But most people aren't anywhere near here, so you don't really understand what that's like. Once you really start to know what that's like, then your motivation to stay with the breath goes way up. Goes way up. So why? Because the more connected you are to the heart, when you're connected to the heart, it enables you to take action from the heart. It enables you to take action straight from the heart. You know, action that is governed by wisdom, compassion, and love. And the Buddha was very clear about this. Our happiness is dependent on our actions. Our happiness is dependent on our actions. If we take actions that are informed by unskillful mental qualities, we're going to suffer. You know? If we take actions that come basically out of our thinking, most of our thinking is habitual, and most habitual patterns in the mind are informed by aversion and desire and delusion. You know, we're going to suffer. If we take action that comes from the heart, we'll move to a greater happiness. Action that comes from wisdom and compassion and love. So that's how we come to know happiness in this life. You know, it's by the actions that we take. It's by the actions that we take. When the actions come from the heart, when they come from wisdom and compassion and love, we move towards a greater happiness. I mean, it's a gradual process of coming more in, more in, more into the body, more into the body, and it's this gradual connection to the heart, right? It's this gradual connection to the heart. And gradually, more and more, you take action that comes from the heart. You can't do that unless you get into the body. You know, it's not a conceptual thing. You know, I mean, some people can tell you, you know, and you might read about what you need to do, but you're still not connected to the heart and the quality of intention that's going to inform the action. So, you know, my experience is a very gradual process of coming more into the body, being able to do that in all your postures throughout the course of your day. More and more, you come from the heart. Your action comes from the heart. My experience is that more and more my action has come from my heart. You know? And I've done things that I never would have thought of doing, you know, because the things that you can do in this world, you know, that are going to bring you happiness are beyond the realm of comprehension of the mind. So, you know, this is where we want to get to, and this is why we stay with the breath, because we want to get to the heart. The way to the heart is into the body. Use the breath to get us into the body, and that leads us to the heart, and then we can take action. And the heart will guide you. The heart will guide you. I mean, we start to learn to do that just in the meditation. You know, when we start to learn to develop an easeful breath and get that breath energy moving and flowing through the body, at first it's a little mechanical, but then we gradually turn ourselves over to the body's wisdom, because the body knows how to breathe in the most comfortable way, most easeful way, the way that's most conducive to present moment awareness. The body knows, the body's wisdom can bring the body into a state of alignment and regulate the central nervous system. You can't do that. Think you can do that? You know? But that's what we're learning to do in the meditation. You know, so we're turning things over to the body's wisdom. The term the Buddha uses is internal assurance. Internal assurance. That's what my teacher was telling me a lot. And I was like, you know all the steps, you know what to do, you just think about it too much. Stop thinking about it too much and do it. Do it. Turn it over to the body. Let the body show you what it is that you need to do to develop concentration. So your heart, you know, this innate wisdom that we have will show us the way. You know, and little by slowly, what we need to do and the actions that we need to take to be happy are revealed to us. You know, are revealed to us. Most of us don't know what we need to do to be happy. It's ideas that we have, or we're trying to copy what other people have done. But only you know, and the only place where you're going to know and understand those answers is in your heart. They're right there. And so it is a process. You know, my experience, as I said, it's a slow process. And part of the problem is we want to know the answers right now, and I want to know what I need to do right now. You know, I want to know what today is going to be like. I want to know what my life is going to be like. So it requires patience, right? You know, the path requires patience. You know, that's a hard thing about staying with the breath, because I'm staying with the breath because this is going to lead me to this goal, but not today maybe, you know? It's going to be effort that's going to go into this, and I'm going to need to be patient. You know, I've just been seeing that in myself lately, this impatience. You know, I mean, I moved to Berlin about a little over a year ago. You know, it's like, I don't know what's going to happen. You know, there's like this uncertainty, you know, and it's like, I want to know, you know, but I have to be patient, you know, the heart will guide me. If I try to figure it out, I mean, me trying to figure it out, it does one thing, it's causing me stress, you know, so, you know, I just need to be patient, be in the body, be present, and let my heart show me the way. That's how I got here, you know, that's how I got here. I mean, another way to think about this, I mean, I know I'm mixing a lot of metaphors, is, but I'm kind of pulling it back full circle to what we talked about this morning, is in the silence we hear what we need to hear, right? If you think about the concentration and coming into the body and being present with this quality of ease, well-being, equanimity, this quality of stillness, of silence. Silence, not chasing after anything, not backing off away from things. You know, just this real inner silence, you know, and we just listen. You know, a lot of ways, understanding what you need to do is, you know, you're just, it's like listening. It's like when this room is really quiet, like it was today, you hear these tiny little sounds, right? That you can't hear now because I'm babbling on. You know? But that's kind of how our minds are, and we can't hear, you know, what the heart is telling us. So we have to get really silent. We have to get really silent. That's why we create this space that's really silent, and we create this place inside that's really silent, so we can hear what it is we need to hear in the silence. So we cultivate this silence, if we follow through with this metaphor, and we don't chase after the thinking, because that's when the noise starts, right? You know, all that noise in the mind, you know? You know, so we're ardent in our efforts to cultivate this internal silence, because we need to be in the silence to know what it is that we need to do to let the heart guide us. That's what ardency is about. You know, I need to be in the silence. I need to be in this place, in the present moment, in the body, and connected to the heart so that I can know happiness in this life. So I'm not going to chase after that thought about the person I need to talk to about the book or Halloween, you know. Or I want to say Halloween and Thanksgiving, but they're not even big holidays here. So Christmas, okay? New Year's Eve. So this is ardency. I'm not going to chase after this thinking. I'm not going to go into that noise. But you know, as we develop this inner silence and the ability to listen, you know, mostly it's about developing the inner silence. You know, once you're able to do that, you'll hear what you need to hear. You know, eventually, you'll know the heart, and you'll know what you need to do, because what you need to do is right there inside of you. It's right there inside of you. So our practice is just to know what's in the heart.